So shalom and good afternoon to everyone in Toronto. I guess that's where you all are.
No. People are all over. I'm in Toronto, but people are from, most people are not from Toronto.
Oh,
So,
I'm in Baltimore.
Okay.
Baltimore, from there you see where you're going. Baltimore, Yesh Gami Yisrael. There are a bunch of people here who live in Israel. They all speak English. They're all people
Israel,
who use
Israel, Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Wow, wow, wow. So if that's the case, I have to be careful.
And everyone should be muted.
But anyway, I cannot say a good afternoon because here it's already good evening. But anyway, okay, let's start. And the topic that I've picked for this class is the battle against devil. What role does this battle play in Rosh Hashanah, in this holiday of Rosh Hashanah, and especially during the prayers, the services of Rosh Hashanah? So actually, the struggle against devil begins, according to our tradition, during the month of Elul. You know that we started to blow shofar from the beginning of Rosh Chodesh Elul, and the rabbis give a few explanations why do we blow the shofar every morning. So the tour, one of the famous Rishonim, say that one reason is because we want to remind ourselves the blowing of the shofar that was in the time when Moshe went up to the mount, to the Sinai mount, to ask for forgiveness for the third time, and he was forgiven on the 40th day on Yom Kippur, and therefore we blow the shofar, just like he asked the Jews to blow the shofar there. But he gives a second reason, and the second reason that he gives is that we want to confuse the devil. Le'arbev et ha-satan. So that's the first time we meet the idea of confusing the devil in Rosh Hashanah. So I guess you'd say, okay, it's some reason, exotic reason, it's not that important. Okay, so let's continue. We are, Bezrat Hashem, we are now on Sunday, but next Shabbat was supposed to be Shabbat Mevarchim, the Shabbat that we bless the next month. Well, this will not happen. We will not make a Mishaberach for the month of Tishrei, as we do on every fourth or fifth Shabbos when we make a bracha for the next month. We will not do that. And the rabbis, the Ramah and the Levush and others explain, why don't we make this benching of Rosh Chodesh Elul, of Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, because we want to confuse the devil. We don't want him to know when the first day of Rosh Hashanah will happen. So you'll forget that it comes, and we want to confuse him. Most probably this devil doesn't read newspapers and doesn't know that in all the pamphlets that are distributed in shul, he can see the date. Well, he's not aware of that. He listens only to the announcement of the cantor or the gabbai, and since he will not be told that Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is coming on Thursday and Friday, he will forget to come. Well, most probably it doesn't help too much, because when we arrive to Erev Rosh Hashanah, despite the custom to blow the shofar during the month of Elul, we don't blow the shofar in Erev Rosh Hashanah. And the rabbis explain, why don't we blow the shofar Erev Rosh Hashanah, the rabbis give two explanations to that. One explanation is because we want to distinguish between blowis, the blowing of the shofar that is only a custom, and blowing the shofar that is a mitzvah that we are commanded to do. But the second reason that the Mishneh Berurah brings is that we want to confuse the devil. And we want him to think that, the Jews stopped blowing the shofar so he could rest, he could relax. And then we'll surprise him. Tomorrow, the day afterwards, we'll come and we'll surprise him and we'll blow the shofar. So it's a kind of, just like the IDF that tries to look after different sophisticated ways how to surprise the enemy when he thinks that you are over. No, now all of a sudden I hit him from an unexpected place. But most probably we understand that the devil came back. He did not forget that it's Rosh Hashanah, and we still need to confuse him. And then, I guess you realize that when we arrive to Rosh Hashanah itself, we don't read in Rosh Hashanah that it's Rosh Chodesh. We don't recite the verses in the Torah that tell us that it's Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. And that we don't read these verses, and one of the rabbis says the reason why we don't do that, because we want to confuse the devil. We don't want him to know. But then the Gemara says the following. So far, whatever I said until now, it's true, but it deals, with customs, with the issues that are not the hardcore of Rosh Hashanah. And you could still say, okay, we don't make a Mishneh Berurah, we don't blow, it's only a minig, and this is a minig, and this is a minig, and you don't take it seriously. But now listen to the following Gemara in Masechet Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says the following. The Gemara asks, why do we blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah? So the Gemara answers, what do you mean, why do we blow shofar? Why do we blow shofar? God commanded us to blow shofar, so that's why we blow shofar. What kind of a question is that? Why do we put on tefillin? Why do we observe Shabbos? Because God commanded us to do that. So the Gemara says, what kind of a question is that? Why do we blow shofar? So the Gemara corrects itself, and then the Gemara says, no, I didn't mean to ask, why do we blow shofar? My question is, why do we blow one series of 30 blowers of shofar? And then, what we Gemara calls Kiot Demiyushav, because it's not a part of the davening. And why do we blow the shofar again? Another series of 30 blowers afterwards. Isn't it enough to blow before the tkiyas, before davening, before Shmon Esra, or during Shmon Esra? Why do we need to blow the shofar twice in two series? And the Gemara says, because we want to confuse devil. That's already hardcore of Rosh Hashanah. That's not a legend. That's not a Kabbalistic idea. That's not something that you could say, well, it's something that relates to customs in the 15th century or whatever. That relates to the hardcore of the halacha. And the question is, what's going on here? What does it mean? And we understand that despite of all of our attempts, the devil arrived to our shuls in Rosh Hashanah. And that's why we need to blow twice. And the question is, why, if we blow twice, he will be confused? What makes him being confused after two sets of blowing versus one set of blowing? And then the Gemara continues. And the Gemara says, a year that you didn't blow the shofar in the beginning of the year will end bad to the Jewish people. And by the way, the rabbis, Tosfot, and other rabbis explain, we're not talking about a city that did not blow the shofar because they were secular. They didn't want to observe the command of blowing shofar. Not at all. We're talking about people that could not blow the shofar because it was forbidden to blow the shofar. Like Shabbos. Because Rosh Hashanah fell on Shabbos and we don't blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. So, Omer, ani achzor elecha, I'm in the middle of a class. Bekitzur, so, that's the reason why, that's what we are talking about. And yet, the Gemara says the following, if you didn't blow the shofar in the beginning of the year, the year will end bad. Why? Because the devil was not confused. There isn't even one place in the Torah where the Gemara will say that if I was coerced, I didn't fulfill the mitzvah because I was coerced not to do that. That it will be counted as I did not do the mitzvah. And not only that, the year will finish bad. The Torah says usually the very fundamental principle is if somebody wanted to do a mitzvah and he could not do it because for whatever reason, but not because of his intention, but against his intention, HaKadosh Baruch Hu metzaref machshava tova lemaaseh. God counts the good intention and refers to this as the mitzvah was fulfilled, was implemented. And here, I'm referring to one of the questions that Carol asked, is that the reason why we have 2 days Rosh Hashanah? No. I will refer to the second day Rosh Hashanah in a minute. But anyway, it doesn't help if the first day of Rosh Hashanah, which is the day that we are commanded from the Torah to blow the shofar, and if we did not blow the shofar in the first day, so the year will end quite bad. By the way, last year, the beginning of the year was on Shabbat. The first day of Rosh Hashanah was Shabbat. And the reason is very simple. I mean, you could tell yourself, look, I wanted to do the mitzvah. And if the question is whether you were a bad person or not, no, you were a very good guy. You wanted to do the mitzvah. But if somebody wanted to take a medicine and he did not take the medicine because he was coerced not to take the medicine, the bottom line is that he didn't take the medicine. Go and explain the doctor, go and explain yourself that if you didn't take the medicine that you needed to take because of blood issues or heart issues, well, I wanted to do that, but I couldn't do that. Well, it's a wonderful excuse, but that it wouldn't recover you. It wouldn't help. And that's what the Gemara says. Well, it's true that you wanted to observe the mitzvah, but you didn't confuse the devil. And that's the story, to confuse the devil. And if you don't confuse the devil, you lost the battle. What is that devil about? And that's a Gemara. That's not Zohar. That's not Kabbalah. That's not mysticism. That's pure Gemara. So the question is, what's going on here? Who is that devil that has such a big role in Rosh Hashanah and in blowing the shofar? By the way, all of you, I guess, I just remind you, Before blowing the shofar, we recite one psalm, one chapter in Tehillim, in Psalms. But afterwards, we recite loudly six verses. I just remind you that the initials of these six verses sum up to the word Kra Satan. Kra, tear away the devil. Koli shamata al ta'alem oznecha l'ravchati l'shavati, that's the first verse. And then Rosh Dvarcha Emet, that's the second letter. And then Arov Avdecha Letov al yashkun izaydim. Sasa nochi al imratecha kemotze shalal rav. Tuv dam edat lamdenikim. These are verses that the initials stand for the word Kra Satan. Again, he's playing the biggest role in Rosh Hashanah. What is that devil about? And what is the fight against devil? From the beginning of Elul up till the end of Rosh Hashanah. So I hope I succeeded to convince you that the devil plays an important role. Now we have to understand who is that devil and how do we fight against this devil. Any questions? If not, I keep on going. I have another 20 minutes. Nachon, Rabbi Kelman.
At least 21 minutes.
At least 21. That's true. I have a daf hayomi in 31 minutes.
Okay.
So, okay. Beseder? So I can move on. Let me read a Rambam that maybe opens our eyes in order to understand what's going on here. But before that, I want to refer to the comment I received during my talking, and I want you to imagine Jewish life in the ancient past, where we don't have a calendar and we have to wait for the two witnesses that will come to the rabbinic court in Jerusalem and testify that they saw the moon and that the rabbinic court has to sanctify the new month and to announce and to declare that here begins the month of Tishrei. I don't want to ask you personal questions, but I guess that most of you know already now, 10 days before Rosh Hashanah, you know already whom you are inviting for the dinner or for lunch, or by whom will you be hosted. I guess each one of you knows more or less what are his plans in Rosh Hashanah. I would dare to say that from my notion, I guess you even know what you ordered already by the butcher and what is the menu in each one of the meals. But maybe I'm a bit exaggerating, but more or less, that's the case. Could you imagine a Jewish family next Wednesday doesn't know if next Wednesday night is a holiday or it's not a holiday? Because the family doesn't know if the witnesses arrived to the rabbinic court and testified that they watched, that they saw the moon, or they did not saw the moon. Could be that it was a cloudy day and they didn't see the moon until Thursday afternoon. Now, what I'm describing to you is not, I'm not making up a story. The Talmud has plenty of sessions about what did the Jews do in that historical time when the holiday was declared by the Beis Din, by the rabbinic court. Now, that basically, no Jew could celebrate Rosh Hashanah in the beginning of Rosh Hashanah. Because nobody could tell that he saw the moon until at least midnight. And then the Beis Din had to receive him to make sure he's not lying, and then to announce. Now, most of the Jews in Jerusalem heard about this only in the morning. Could be that they didn't even hear about it in the morning. Could be that the witnesses arrived only in the afternoon. Now, you ask yourself, what kind of a holiday is that? Usually, Jewish holidays are in the middle of the month. Pesach, Sukkot, Yom Kippur. Shavuos, you don't have to decide because you count 49 days from the second day of Pesach, so you arrive to Shavuos. But Rosh Hashanah is the only holiday in the Jewish calendar that by definition, nobody knows when this holiday will begin. Because nobody could tell you in advance, not like us, that we know already now where Rosh Hashanah will fall. But they don't know when Rosh Hashanah will fall. They will have to receive the witnesses. So the question, why Ribbono Shel Olam, why did you make such a holiday that by definition nobody will be able to observe it in a proper way? Because nobody will know when Rosh Hashanah begins that it began. And the rabbis dispute among themselves what kind of davening. Would they daven on the next Wednesday night? Would they daven a regular davening of every day? Or would they daven a holiday davening? Etc., etc. Would they make Kiddush? You don't want to make a bracha levatala. You don't want to make an extra blessing which is not needed because it's prohibited. This holiday is something which is very special. It's unique. It doesn't exist in our history, in our tradition. A holiday that nobody knows when it begins. And since nobody knows when it begins, nobody knows when it begins and when it ends, because you don't know if the first day will be a holiday, maybe only the second day will be the holiday. As a result of that, eventually the rabbis decided, okay, in order to rescue us from all the dilemmas, let's announce that we celebrate 2 days and that's the end of the story. But originally, that was not the intention of the Torah. We were supposed to keep only 1 day. And this 1 day is impossible to keep based on the rules of the Torah. So the question is why? What's the story that stands behind the secret of Rosh Hashanah? So I want to read the Rambam. And the Rambam says the following. This Rambam, by the way, is not a Rambam in the Hilchot Shofar, neither in Hilchot Rosh Hashanah. This Rambam is written in Hilchot Tshuva, when in the regulations of Tshuva, which is something that is fascinating for itself. And that's what he writes. אף על פי שתקיעת שופר בראש השנה, גזירת הכתוב. Despite the fact that blowing shofar in Rosh Hashanah is a command, is a decree from God, which reminds us the Gemara that we just mentioned a few minutes ago. Why did God command us to blow shofar? Why? Because he commanded. You don't ask such questions. So that's the reference of the Rambam. Af al pi, despite the fact that blowing shofar is a mitzvah and it's a decree from God, but there is also a hint. Remez yeshbo. There is a hint that is given by this mitzvah. And what is the hint? Uru yeshenim mishnatchem. You, the sleepers, the ones that sleep now, have a wonderful sleep. Wake up! Venirdamim akitsu mitardematchem. And those who fell asleep, again, get up from your sleep. Vechapsu bemaasechem. Search in your deeds. Search in your activities, in your actions. Vechizru bitshuva. And do repentance. And remember your creator. Vezichru borachem. But who are those who fell asleep? To whom do we refer? Whom is the Rambam referring to? And then the Rambam explains. Who are those? And now listen to the next six words. Elu ashochechim et haemet. These are those who forget the truth. Be'avlei azman. They forget the truth because they are busy with the nonsense of using their time. Havlei hazman. What I would try to suggest and to explain in the next 12 minutes that I have is that when we talk about confusing devil, is to fight against the devil of the time, of understanding that we all live in the framework of time. And the main question that we should take in consideration about our lives is how do we utilize our time? In gematria, by the way, gematria is the mathematics of the letters. So I don't know if you are familiar with that methodology, but if you figure out the numbers of the letters of the word Hasatan, it will sum up to 364. Hey stands for 5. Shin is 300. Tet is 9. Nun is 50. 364 days. There's one day in the year that we are released from that devil, that we can fight against this devil. And that's the day of Rosh Hashanah. And now I want to deepen the understanding of what we're talking about. Actually, if you look in our life, if we look in our lives, there is no reason to think that a day after the beginning of the year and a day before the beginning of the year, something will change. By the way, usually, I guess in English, when you want to describe January 1st, you would call it the beginning of the year. You won't describe it or you won't define it as the head of the year. That's not the name you give it. Rosh Hashanah. We don't say Tchilat Hashanah, the beginning. We say the Rosh, the head of the Shana. Because basically there is no reason to think that the fact that now another year has changed in the calendar, that something will be changed in our lives. As a matter of fact, you know that in Hebrew, the word Shana, Shin Nun Hey, has two meanings. On one hand, if we use it in what we call Binyan Kal, it's to repeat yourself. Veshinantam Levanecha, Lishnot. We define the Sefer Dvorim, Mishneh Torah. If somebody says something twice, he is Shoneh Dvarav, he repeats himself. How do we call the fact that we use two chalas on Shabbat yesterday? We call it Lechem Mishneh, right? The word Shana Mishneh stands for repeating itself. So actually every year could be the same year just like the past year. Because if somebody will not change anything in his behavior, there's no reason why the next year will be different from the first year. But the letters of Shin Nun Hey in Hebrew stand for another word as well. Shina. Leshanot. Not Lishnot, but Leshanot. Leshanot means in Hebrew to change. You could repeat yourself. You could repeat your mistakes. You could change yourself. It all depends in one thing. If you believe that in Rosh Hashanah, you have a Rosh, you have a head, and you can think, and you can decide for yourself that you want the next year to look different than the previous year. That's the essence of Rosh Hashanah. That you don't give up to the time, that you don't give up to your customs, that you don't give up to the fact that actually nothing has been changed in the earth. Yes, we can change. You know why we don't announce on Shabbat that on Wednesday night there will be Rosh Hashanah? Because if we would have announced that Rosh Hashanah will fall on Wednesday night, it would have meant that Rosh Hashanah is another day in the calendar. It's not another day. This upcoming Shabbat will, Bezrat Hashem, will end this year on Wednesday afternoon, and everything belongs to last year. On Wednesday night, it's a new creation of a year. You cannot announce on Shabbat that Wednesday night will be a new Shabbat, a new Rosh Hashanah. No. A, you don't know that it will be Rosh Hashanah. Could be that the witnesses will not arrive until Wednesday night. But even if they would, the essence of the beginning of a year is that you cannot know in advance when it starts, because it's a beginning. It's a creation. You know why God created a holiday? That you will never be able to know in advance that it arrives, because that's the essence of this Rosh Hashanah. It's the beginning of the time. We begin a new era, a new period of time. And that's why, that's the idea that stands behind Rosh Hashanah. Now I want to conclude with a story. It's a story that the rabbis bring that story. And I hope that you will get the idea from that story in 5 minutes. The story says the following. Agnon brings the story and rabbis bring the story. There was a rabbi 600-700 years ago in Germany. His name was Meglin, Rabbi Meglin. And there were there three balei tokea in his community, professionals, well known, famous in the country, and all of them used to daven in this Rabbi Meglin's shul. So he calls the first one to blow the shofar and he fails. No blow. Calls the second one, the third one. Nobody succeeds. And then Rabbi Meglin comes. He takes the shofar. He turns it upside down. Usually, you know what the balei tokea are doing when they want to improve themselves and to blow better. Since they spit a lot inside the shofar, so what they do, they take the shofar and they push it and press it on the hands or on the table in order to make the spit to go out. Didn't work. So what this Rabbi Meglin was doing, he took the shofar and turned him upside down from the side where there is no spit there. And he started to shuckle it, to shake it. And then he gave it to them, and the blows went smoothly. So they asked him, what happened here? How come you succeeded? I mean, don't tell us that the spit was there. So he said to them, you know, the devil was in that shofar, and I had to shake him and to cause him to run away. That's the story. Now, the question is, what stands behind this story? And the answer is very simple. If the Baal Tokea comes to blow the shofar, and he thinks that to blow the shofar is to play guitar, or to play violin, or cello, he's so professional, he's so as self-confidence in himself. Yeah, I'm the professional. I've blown for years. That's the devil. The devil is the fact that you don't understand that what you have to do here is to turn yourself upside down, that you cannot continue like last year. You cannot do the same thing. You have to understand that we need to change something. That's the essence of Rosh Hashanah. That's the essence. You know why we blow twice? Because there is no reason to blow twice. Actually, not only that it's no reason to blow twice, the rabbis have to explain, and trust me, the explanations are quite difficult. Why isn't it prohibited to blow twice? Why isn't it considered to be baltoisi? Because we are not allowed to add mitzvot. So why all of a sudden we blow twice? So there are different explanations. But why did we have it all together? Why did we have to establish blowing twice? That's the story. We don't do what you expect us to do. We blow because we understand that we're in trouble and we want to change. We don't even use words. We just blow. That's the story. The story of Rosh Hashanah is to understand that we cannot continue with our customs of previous years. Something has to be changed. That's the entire story. That's the devil. That's confusing the devil. And when I say this, this year was not prepared for this year. But this year, when I give this year, I feel something very special. Because I just finished writing a letter to my community to add a few prayers in Rosh Hashanah. And so our rabbis recommended for many communities to add a few chapters of Tehillim before blowing the shofar, to recite the list of the 101 hostages before blowing the shofar. And there were those who said, wow, you'll lengthen the davening in 10 minutes, in 15 minutes. And my argument to them is, I understand. I understand people want to come back home in the time where they are used to. But I want to tell you that this is what Rosh Hashanah is about. It's not that you start at 8 and come back at 1 or at 1:30 or 12:30. You have to turn yourself upside down. If you really feel that there is a decree in heaven against us, and you really feel that you are in a war, you have to be creative. In a war, you have to be different. You cannot just repeat yourself just the way you behaved in previous years. You have to do something different. I don't know what. There was a rabbi that suggested to blow the shofar before the beginning of davening, to show that we are so determined to fight against the forces that want to defeat us. We are in a war. In a war we fight. To confuse the devil. Not to give up to our habits. To understand the changes could happen. Just depends on us. Shana tova. Ktiva v'chatima tova. Any question? Turn things upside down. Theme is Hannah's second prayer in Haftorah. Correct. No more comments.
Thank you so much, Rostov. You are the Yirmiyahu of today. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Shana tova.
Shana tova. Thank you so
Thank you, Rav Sof, for the powerful words and message. And from here, and it should be heard on high, that the shofar should be heard on high. We should confuse the Satan very much. But thank you.
Thank you, Shana tova.
Okay, Tadarabakti Vabakhatima Tova. Okay, Rachelis.